And the study of God's Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, The Authority of the Christian. And yes, how much authority does Christ have? How much has He given to His people? Grace to you and peace from Jesus, the King of Kings. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on the spiritual warfare of the Christian. And today I'd like to talk with you about the power that is on our side as we fight the good fight of the faith. And in particular, at the authority of Christ and at the authority of the Christian, I'd like to look. Do you know that Jesus had and has great authority? You know that He has given authority to you as a believer in Christ too? Or have we forgotten that? Or perhaps never even heard about it in the first place. Well, today let's take a look at this together and see what God tells us in His holy word about the authority of Christ and that of the believer by His holy word. What can we say about that? Well, first off, let's understand in our spiritual battle that we fight, we do wage war against an invisible and evil enemy, his name, Satan. And he does not want... I repeat, he does not want you to understand the authority and the power that is in you and behind you as a Christian. He wants you to feel in life tiny, small, powerless, a victim like a little tiny pea before his great hammer, like a tiny drop in a great ocean against great forces of evil that are going to overwhelm and be beyond your strength to withstand, like a little speck. But over against that, let's take a look now at the power that is behind you today as a Christian, the authority of Christ. Let's take a look at the authority first of our King. Jesus Christ had great authority. What kind of authority did He have on Christ? What could He do? What was possible to Him? Well, let's open the scriptures and read. First of all, let's take a look at Mark chapter 4. Now, here there was Jesus got into the boat with the disciples. And they put to sea, and a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that if we perish? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And there was wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? And they were filled with fear, awe, and said to one another, Who then is this that even wind and sea obey Him? So what did Jesus have authority on earth to do? Number one, to command the forces of nature. Speak to them, and they had to obey because of His authority. Secondly, we can turn to Luke chapter 4. In verse 38, we read, Jesus had authority over diseases to rebuke them, to cure them. Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she rose and served them. Isn't that great? This is your King. He has the power to rebuke the wind and the sea. He has the power to rebuke diseases with His authority. Thirdly, He has the power to forgive sins. We look here at Matthew chapter 9. You know the story of the paralytic that they brought to Jesus on a bed? He says, Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Then the scribes said, This man's blaspheming. How can he forgive sins, etc.? Jesus knew their thoughts. He said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, rise and walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, rise and walk. And the man takes up his bed and walks and goes home. He has the authority to forgive sins. Jesus does, our King. And then, fourthly, He has the power over evil spirits. over princes of darkness, over demons to cast them out. Authority. We turn back there over to Luke chapter 4. And in a synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Authority he had, and authority to judge the earth. Jesus says in John chapter 5, "The Father has given me authority to execute judgment because I'm the Son of Man." He had authority over death, too. Isn't that fantastic for us that we have such a king? He goes to a little girl, 12 years old, died. She just died. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked. She was about 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And then seventh, Jesus also has the power to raise the dead at the last day. This authority was given to him. He says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Jesus came with great, great authority. And when I look at his credentials, and that's just a few of them, I think, my goodness, my God, thank you that he is on my side. Wouldn't want to stand against him. And all this authority was seen in his word and how he exercised it. For they were amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And there is power, I'll tell you, friends, in Jesus' word. There's power in his name. And this is our King, one of great authority. Let's rejoice in that. But let's now get a little better grasp. What is authority? What actually does that word mean? Jesus had it, but what is it? Well, the word that's used there in the Greek all over the place is exousia, which means authority, power, might, strength. He has the ability to accomplish what he says he will do. And isn't that cool? It's very closely related to another word in the New Testament in Greek called exesti, which means the idea of having the right to rule. So in Jesus, you have both the right and the might. And these two go together, the right to command and the power to enforce that command. And that's what authority is. It's the right to command something and then the power and ability to force obedience to that if necessary. We can see that in police officers today, can't we? Police officers, we say, have authority. They are the authorities, actually, on the road. I was driving the other day down 520 over by the hospital, I was here, the other car was here, and another car comes up racing behind us, loud roar of his engine, and cuts off right in between the two of us. There's no room to do this. Endangering others, sped on ahead. You know what I wanted to do? As an ordinary citizen, flip on my lights, get my badge out, hit the siren, and go after him and pull him over. You've been a naughty boy, right? I wanted to arrest him and say license and registration and have him hand it over and discipline them, bring him, force him to obedience. But if I were to do that, you know what he'd do? Just laugh at me. He'd hit the gas. And if I could somehow catch up to him and command him to hand over his license, he'd just deride me to scorn and say, "But who are you? Who are you that I should obey your command?" But a police officer, totally different story. See, if he hits the gas, in that case, he lights off right after him. He puts the lights on. And if he wants to resist like that, he's going to get 10 other cop cars in hot pursuit within seconds. And then if they corner him in an alley and he continues to resist, they have the authority and the force to wrestle him to the ground. And if he still resists and pulls out a gun, they have the authority to shoot him dead and to kill him, to force his obedience to the law, because authority is invested in them with all the power of the government, the United States, behind them to enforce it. They have the right to command and the power to enforce it. Jesus Christ, my friends, has the right to command and all the authority and power of heaven behind him to do it. Whatever he says, he will do. And so again, looking at Jesus Christ, our King, and his credentials, I am so glad I'm on his team. I would not want to stand against him. Well, let's understand then, where did Jesus get all this authority? Did he just grab it? Do you think it was his own? How many would think that? That might be a popular misconception for us, that we think Jesus, well, he was the Son of God. Of course this was his power. And he could do with it as he wishes. But you know what? Jesus tells us in the Bible that's not how it was. He says he didn't grab his authority, he received it. It was God gave it to him. And that's something for us to understand about authority. It has to be given. It's not something you can go grab on your own. God gave it to Jesus to do his will. For example, Jesus says concerning his power to judge the earth, Jesus says, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He has given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Say given, if you would. Given. Authority is something given, not grabbed. God gave it to Jesus. God gave Jesus the power to do miracles. Jesus says, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. So God gave Jesus authority to work miracles. Concerning the raising of the dead, Jesus says, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Say, granted. Granted. It is given authority to have life in himself, and as the Father raises the dead, so the Son gives life to whom he will. And concerning his words and the power to preach, which was Jesus' chief mission here, to preach the word and then to die and be raised for us, Jesus says this, listen carefully, in John 14, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Notice, not my own authority, Jesus says. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me, John 7. In John 8, Jesus says, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as the Father has taught me. And so that's pretty cool, isn't it? Authority is something God gives. It's not something you can just go grab for yourself, as if you can go into the convenience store. Anybody want authority here, by the way, today? Some more power in your life? You know, we can't just go down to the convenience store and grab some off the shelf for ourselves and say, I got some authority. It has to be given. And God gave it to Jesus. It's sort of like a deputy, God being the sheriff, if you will. The sheriff has all the authority to enforce the law. Well, in this case, the sheriff would give it all to the deputy, saying, you're going to act in my place. I'm going to invest my authority, and here's the badge that you're going to wear. And when you go out there, you are going to be with all the same authority and power as the sheriff to carry on his work in the community. Well, God gave all authority to Jesus in order to carry on his work of saving the world from its sins. And the Bible says power belongs to God. Do you believe that? That actually authority comes from God? All authority? You know, the Bible says that the civil authorities, like the police or our government, have authority from God. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, says Paul, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. How about the devil? You know, the devil has great authority, but God gave it to him for a little while, according to his plan. The devil took Jesus, remember, in the wilderness, and then up to the temple, and showed him the mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the glory of them. And he says, these all to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. God gave the devil a certain amount of authority for a while. And then God gave Jesus Christ authority to conquer the devil, to trounce him underfoot for us, to save the world from its sins. And with his authority that he had from God, Jesus could command the wind and the sea, be still, be calm, and it would calm down. He could speak to a fever and rebuke it and say, be healed. He could speak to the demons and say, come out. And he could speak to a girl who is dead and say, arise. And she came to life again and walked. And this is, I want you to know, the power that's behind you. This is our King. This is our Jesus. And great strength is behind you in your Christian life. When you walk against the world, when you walk against sin in your life, when you walk against the devil, this kind of authority is yours when you fight the good fight of the faith. For the devil wants to make you feel literally tiny, small, vulnerable, little pea before a hammer, his hammer. But you know what God says to the devil? You got a little wrong there. You're the pea, I'm the hammer, and I'm with my people. This is the authority of Jesus, and Jesus himself watches over you. So let's therefore be bold to say with the psalmist, my enemies will be turned back in the day when I call. This is God, this I know, that God is for me. And with the Lord on my side, I do not fear what can man do to me. Amen? Oh, you got power, friends. You got authority behind you in your Christian life. But now I want to ask, what about in you? Do you also have authority yourself given to you? We said that authority is like sort of a sheriff giving it to a deputy. He gives a badge, he gets the authority from the one above him. Jesus got his authority from God the Father. He was a deputy, if you will. Did Jesus deputize you? Did he give authority to others, the authority that was given to him? Let's take a look, see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Say it. Authority. Over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and infirmity. So did Jesus make them deputies? He says, you got authority. Go out, carry on my work in the world that God gave to me, and I give you authority to do it. And did they? You know, when a police officer ends police school or whatever it's called and gets commissioned, he might go out into the community and come back on his first day and is like, wow, Sheriff, Sergeant, I can't believe it. I went out there and everybody was obeying me. I had the authority to do it. And he'd be very excited. Well, the disciples were the same way. They came back when Jesus had sent out 70 at another time. They came back exclaiming, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I have given you, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you have authority? Do you know that God gave it to the 12? He gave it to the 70. He gave it to all Christians. You actually have more authority today than you think you do. And we ought to use it. Remember the story once of a preacher who I heard on the radio. He was at an evangelistic event where they rented an NFL stadium. They wanted to preach the gospel to the lost. And as they were getting ready, a great storm cloud was heading toward the stadium. It was going to rain and wash out everything that they'd been working for months. And he said some of the pastors got up and said some sort of meek prayers and then just put their heads down, and they were all downcast and without hope. There's no way you can avoid this storm, heading right for the stadium. To an old lady, kind of came up to the podium and said, oh Lord, we've been working hard for this evangelistic. We're carrying on your mission to preach Jesus Christ to the lost. And this storm cloud right now is threatening our mission. And therefore, Lord, I ask you to send down your help and deliver us. And I command that storm cloud to depart and to be split and not to hinder the straight work of the Lord here. And she went back down and all the pastors were put to shame. And they watched the storm cloud rolling toward the stadium. And then this pastor testified, I heard him say, the storm cloud split into two parts, poured rain on both sides of the stadium, came back together on the other side, and continued on down the country. Well, do you have the authority to command the weather? Well, it says in James chapter 5, Elijah was a man of like nature with us. He prayed fervently that it might not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again that it might rain on the earth, and the storm clouds obeyed him. And James says he was no different from you. Does that mean we can do that anywhere we want? Just commanding this and that? No. It's within our jurisdiction. Police, you wouldn't expect to go down to the donut store and order people to give them 10,000 donuts. Not that they would do that anyway. That's just an old joke. But that's not how they use their authority. They use it to enforce what they are commissioned to enforce, the law. And in this case, that woman had jurisdiction. This is the Lord's work. This is threatening the Lord's work. Therefore, I command you, get out of the way. Move. She took her badge, her deputy badge, and went for it. And so we have that authority. We also have the authority, it says in the Bible, to pronounce the forgiveness of sins or to retain them. Jesus said to the apostles on his resurrection, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Isn't that amazing? You can either arrest somebody or you can set them free. And we pronounce it by the gospel of Jesus Christ when a person believes. And so the main thing is the power to preach. That is the authority that God has given to his church. And that is what you're seeing up here right now. The power to preach in Jesus' name. I'm preaching and using that authority. And you're to do that too in your own spheres of influence in your life. And I'm doing it publicly in church. But we're all to speak the word with authority. As Moses said in Numbers 11, would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And you have the Holy Spirit. It's even better than the days of the apostles with their authority. You have the Holy Spirit authority now in you. You're witnesses, Jesus says. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city till you're clothed with power from on high. And you have been clothed with power and authority to carry out the mission of God, the great sheriff, in this world as his deputies, and to be strong in it. Not that we always see the same super miraculous signs that attended the apostles, although sometimes we do. But the main thing is the preaching of the word. And we're to take up that badge and go for it. For truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. I tell you, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And that's our authority. The policeman says, stop in the name of the law. We say, stop in the name of Jesus Christ. Or whatever else we need to say. It's his name. That's our strength. So don't be intimidated by the devil. He's just a gangster. He's a bully. And by the world and by sin, as if you have no authority over them. Are you deputies today? Say yes or no. Yes, you are. You are deputies before God. Remember Barney Fife? Andy Griffith? Well, he was a deputy, but he didn't always know how to use it. One show he goes in with two bullies that were selling things on town property they weren't supposed to sell. And so he swaggers in there as usually Barney Fife. All right, you need to get out of here. And they intimidate him. They say, I bet you don't even have a bullet in that gun of yours. And he's like, oh no. And they threaten him and he runs away and drives away in a hurry. And the rest of the show, he's distraught and terrified and downcast and afraid. At the end of the show, Andy says, I'm going to go run those guys out of town. Barney says, are you going to take your gun with you? Andy says, no, this is all I need. Points to his badge, his authority. And Barney says, well, can I go with you? Yep. And they go. And Barney says, Andy, would you get out of the car? I want to handle this alone. Are you sure, Barn? Yep. And he says, just remember, points to his badge. And Barney drives off. And he goes to these two guys that tower over him in strength. And he goes up to them and he says, now I warned you guys before and I'm warning you now for the last time. You take your stuff and you get out of here. And they start walking toward him, threatening him. He says, a little more nervous, he says, this is the deputy sheriff talking to you. You better listen. And they walk toward him. And he says, you see this badge? That means I'm sworn to uphold the law. And that's what I aim to do. And so you folks better just respect it. It's as simple as that. And then now they're towering over him, looking him down, staring him in his eyes, intimidating him, bullying him. And he says, yeah, you guys are a lot bigger than I am. But this badge stands for a whole lot of people who are a lot bigger than either one of you. Are you going to get moving? And at that time, they put down their eyes, put their tail between their legs, and he drives them out of town. Because Barney didn't stand on his own strength. He stood on the strength of his badge and the authority that had been given to him as deputy sheriff. And in the same way, friends, do you know the authority that stands behind you in all things you do as a Christian, as you carry on God's service? If the devil comes to you and says, stand aside, you say, no, you stand aside. If he says, back off, you say, no, you back off. If he says, move, you say, you see this badge? It means I'm sworn to uphold Christ's justice. And that's what I aim to do, and you better understand that. Then if he says, but you're going to get hurt, then you say, you look up, yeah, you're a lot bigger than I am. But this badge stands for a God. This name of Christ on me stands for a God who's a whole lot bigger than you are. Now you're going to get moving. And James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That must totally infuriate the guy, doesn't you think? This big bully, strong, proud, a gangster, and this little puny mortal of sinful flesh with a badge of Christ upon him, his name upon you, gets there and to say, move it. And he has to go. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says James and John says, little children, you've overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And whereas the police officer commands in the name of the law, we command in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. How did Peter raise up that crippled man at the temple? He said, I can't give you silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I say to you, walk. And then the authorities challenge Peter, and he says, if we're being examined, by what authority, by what power, by what name we did this, be it known to you all, by the name of Jesus Christ, this man is standing before you well. And he goes straight into the preaching of the word. He says, and there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He took his authority, standing not in his own strength, but as deputy, and preached the word. And I'll tell you, I do the same right now. We win in life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died and destroyed the devil's authority over us. He took away our sins, Jesus did. He rose from the dead. And you believing in him, being a Christian, having Christ's name on you, are forgiven and free and justified and an heir of heaven and a deputy with authority conferred, commissioned upon you. And we ought to use that. For Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, every last ounce of it. And now, therefore, I command you, go. And this is behind you as you do your mission. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey what I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And then Andy Taylor comes out from behind the car after Barney does that. And Barney stands down and casts away the bad guys. And Barney goes, whew, and wipes the sweat from his brow. And Andy comes around and goes, oh, Barn, that was the finest job of stalking I ever did see. That was the finest job of stalking. Good job. And Jesus says the same to us when we stand up to evil that gets in our way as Christians. Oh, fine job. That was as fine a job as deputying as I ever did see. Good job. Good job. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the kingdom and the authority and the power of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives unto death. Deputies of the Lord, take your authority and go forward with it. And we'll conclude with this word of encouragement from Proverbs 29. For when the wicked rule, the people groan. But when the righteous are in authority, then the people rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Authority of the Christian, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to just stop by and visit, our services are Sundays at 8 and 11 a.m., Wednesday nights at 7. Christ Lutheran Church is located on A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to leave a comment on this message or hear more messages, you can go to ChristLutheran915.org. That's ChristLutheran915.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls, and God bless you.
Sky's alive with the burning light. You can mark my words, something's about to break. And I found myself in a bitter fight when I felt your hand through the darkest night. Don't know where you're coming from, but you're coming soon to a cure for Morgan, the way of California.